After the darkness of the first room, the lamps hanging low on golden chains from the ceiling gave the impression that this long rectangular room was much brighter, though there were no glittering, shimmering lights such as Harry had seen in his dreams. The place was quite empty except for a few desks, and in the very middle of the room an enormous glass tank of deep green water, big enough for all of them to swim in, which contained a number of pearly white objects that were drifting around lazily in the liquid.
"What are those things?" whispered Ron.
"Dunno," said Harry.
"Are they fish?"
breathed Ginny.
"Aquavirus maggots," said Luna excitedly. "Dad said the ministry were breeding."
"No,"
said Hermione. She sounded odd. She moved forward to look through the side of the tank.
"They're brains."
"Brains?"
"Yes. I wonder what they're doing with them."
Harry joined her at the tank. Sure enough, there could be no mistake now that he saw them at close quarters. Glimmering eerily, they drifted in and out of sight in the depths of the green water, looking something like slimy cauliflowers.
"Let's get out of here," said Harry. "This isn't right. We need to try another door."
"There are doors here, too," said Ron, pointing around the walls.
Harry's heart sank.
How big was this place?
"In my dream, I went through that dark room into the second one," he said. "I think we should go back and try from there." So they hurried back into the dark circular room. The ghostly shapes of the brains were now swimming before Harry's eyes instead of the blue candle flames.
"Wait,"
said Hermione sharply as Luna made to close the door of the brain room behind them.
"Flagrate!"
She drew with her wand in midair, and a fiery X appeared on the door. No sooner had the door clicked shut behind them than there was a great rumbling, and once again the wall began to revolve very fast. But now there was a great red-gold blur in amongst the faint blue, and when all became still again, the fiery cross still burned, showing the door they had already tried.
"Good thinking," said Harry. "Okay, let's try this one."
Again he strode directly at the door facing him and pushed it open, his wand still raised, the others at his heels. This room was larger than the last, dimly lit and rectangular, and the center of it was sunken, forming a great stone pit some 20 feet below them. They were standing on the topmost tier of what seemed to be stone benches running all around the room and descending in steep steps like an amphitheater, or the courtroom in which Harry had been tried by the Wizengamot. Instead of a chain chair, however, there was a raised stone dais in the center of the lowered floor, and upon this dais stood a stone archway that looked so ancient, cracked and crumbling, that Harry was amazed the thing was still standing. Unsupported by any surrounding wall, the archway was hung with a tattered black curtain or veil, which, despite the complete stillness of the cold surrounding air, was fluttering very slightly, as though it had just been touched.
"Who's there?"
said Harry, jumping down onto the bench below. There was no answering voice, but the veil continued to flutter and sway.
"Careful,"
whispered Hermione. Harry scrambled down the benches one by one until he reached the stone bottom of the sunken pit. His footsteps echoed loudly as he walked slowly toward the dais. The pointed archway looked much taller from where he stood now than when he had been looking down on it from above. Still, the veil swayed gently, as though somebody had just passed through it.